The Houston Rockets get absolutely demolished by the Utah Jazz. Dennis Schroeder makes his debut, but at the cost of Josh Christopher's minutes. What is the coaching staff trying to accomplish by playing vets ahead of the young guys? Also, Dacian Nix gets his contract converted to a standard NBA deal. We're going to break it all down for you right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and also host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. Not a fun episode today because we've got to talk about the Rockets getting absolutely trounced by the Utah Jazz, 135-101. There is, you know what? I will backtrack that statement just a little bit. There are a couple positives to take away from this game. Not many, but some positives to take away from this game. So first things first, we're going to talk about Dennis Schroeder and his debut with the Houston Rockets coming at the cost of minutes for one Josh Christopher. What is the coaching staff trying to accomplish with Dennis Schroeder heading into the NBA All-Star break? Also, the touches distribution for the Houston Rockets. Going to dive into that a little bit. Going to talk a little bit about Dacian Nix receiving a standard NBA deal, his two-way contract being converted, as well as a couple of those highlights that I mentioned, the couple positives to take away from this game, Jalen Green's defense, Kevin Porter Jr. having a solid night, and KJ Martin with a solid performance off the bench. But the first place I want to start is Dennis Schroeder, the new name on the block for the Houston Rockets team, and he got his debut in this game against the Utah Jazz. Now, the game itself was largely non-competitive. I mean, Rockets ended the first quarter down 12, 36 to 24. The Jazz sunk like five or six triples in that first frame. Donovan Mitchell exploded in this game for 30 points on 9 of 15 shooting. Bojan Bogdanovic had 22 on 8 of 14 shooting. And largely the Rockets' defensive rotations were abysmal. They were giving up wide open dunks for the majority of this game. Lots of wide open threes. It was really, really tough. In fact, when asked about the defense, Eric Gordon had a 1,000-yard stare on his face and had this to say.
With your defense communication as far as the interior defense.
I mean, it's been bad for a while now. Just got to play harder and play smarter. I don't know. It just... That's all I can say. We just got to play harder and better.
Yeah, not great vibes coming off of Eric Gordon right there. Whether or not he may be happy to be in Houston, but he may not happy to be having played in that game against the Utah Jazz because, whew, it was tough. Now, let's focus on Dennis Schroeder, who did make his debut with the Houston Rockets, much to the chagrin of Rockets fans everywhere. Shout out to the Dennis Schroeder cult on Twitter. But Schroeder got, you know, checked in the game, and I honestly thought he had a relatively solid impact in this game. He didn't, you know, dominate the basketball by any stretch of the imagination. And overall, I felt like he was, and by extension, him and the rest of the Rockets bench unit at times were overpassing, trying to create too much for each other. Schroeder, I guess, you know, not wanting to come in and, you know, be super ball dominant, trying to get his. He was really working on facilitating for others. He finished the night with 4 points on 2 of 6 shooting, and he had 5 assists. And he was very intentional about looking for his teammates, trying to get their guys involved. It's not like he knows a majority of the plays at this point. So he was trying to, you know, just work his way into the system. And I mentioned this at halftime, I believe, but the way that Schroeder had been subbed in and the minutes that he played directly led to the fact that Josh Christopher only got 3 first half minutes. And so I hypothesized that the reason for that was because Steven Silas was trying to get a look at what Dennis Schroeder looked like with each of the other guards on the Rockets roster so that he can have an idea in this being his first game, right? Where he works, who he works well with, all of that. And so I asked Steven Silas about that, you know, in the post-game presser, trying to get a feel for what he had going on.
Steven, I know you touched on the rotation stuff just a little bit there momentarily, but were you kind of intentional about playing Dennis alongside at stretches each of the other guards that are in the usual rotation at trying to get a look at what he could look like with some of the other guys out there? And what did you see out of him that you liked tonight?
Yeah, I like the ball pressure that he applies. He's a good pick and roll player. He is natural. It's natural for him to get guys organized. He recognizes who he's on the floor with and can get, like, there were times where he was on the floor with Eric, noticed Eric hadn't gotten a shot in a little while. I didn't have to call a play. He just made sure that Eric got the ball. So, that know-how, that kind of organization part is big for our group. Plus, he pushes the ball up the floor. Once it goes through the net, he's getting it over half court quickly. So I was a little bit intentional as far as who he was playing with, because I wanted to see, you know, who he works best with, but that's going to be a work in progress. It's going to take more than one, probably more than these three games before the break to figure that out.
And then previously, before I was able to ask Steven Silas this question about Schroeder and you know what he saw out of him and what he was trying to accomplish with him minutes wise, he did mention that the way that he was trying to use his rotations in this game got kind of messed up because of a timeout or you know lack thereof, a lack of a dead ball earlier in the game.
Yes and no. There was a stretch where there wasn't a timeout, there wasn't a foul. So I probably wanted to get him in a little bit earlier, which kind of had a ripple effect down the roster, especially with Josh. But I mean, he'll get probably around this amount of minutes, maybe a little bit more. And then depending on the, when I can actually get him in the game, the other guys will kind of fall in line.
So Dennis Schroeder played 18 minutes in this one. Steven Silas there just now saying that he meant to get Dennis Schroeder into the game earlier, and then he'd probably play around this amount of minutes, maybe a little bit more in games moving forward, and that largely Josh Christopher was the guy that was most adversely impacted by the lack of a dead ball or lack of a timeout earlier in this game. Josh Christopher, again, just getting three first half minutes. He finished the night with 10 minutes on the game, which is still just completely ridiculous. But, you know, there's a lot to unpack here, a lot to try and figure out for what Steven Silas and the coaching staff are trying to accomplish here with Dennis Schroeder. And I want to kind of unpack more of this here in just a moment in segment two, as well as touching on, you know, the number of touches for guys around the lineup, guys elsewhere in the lineup, as well as hitting on at least some of the a couple positives from this game after a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online. Because look, football might be over for the season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, Bet Online is the number one spot for all of your sports betting needs. Bet Online remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. Bet Online is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds, right to the Olympic coverage and information. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn about the trends and action available to you. Bet Online, where the game starts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, go check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every single NBA game with analysis from our local experts, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, lots to unpack here regarding the Dennis Schroeder minutes allocation, what this team is trying to accomplish by bringing in another veteran guard when you've got so many young guards, so many other mouths to feed on this roster. And obviously, Rockets fans largely upset that Josh Christopher taking a hit in this very first game. I think it was kind of illuminating that Steven did mention that he's trying to get a feel for who Dennis works best with and trying to kind of get a little bit of tape to, I guess, look over during the All-Star break before this team goes on their little mid-season vacation before coming back for the tail stretch of games. Now, I will say, I already said, you know, in a couple different times now on a couple different platforms that if Dennis Schroeder negatively or adversely impacts the minutes for the young guys on this roster, namely Josh Christopher, I was going to be the first guy that was going to come out and say, this is not cool. This can't be happening. Josh Christopher has been one of the hardest working guys on this Rockets roster. He has absolutely earned those minutes, earned that spot in the rotation that he's carved out for himself. And to see a vet just slide in and suddenly take his spot in the rotation, that's frustrating. Like that, like, what are we doing here essentially? Right. Because the entire goal for this season is supposed to be about development. Now, I'm not against the idea of Dennis Schroeder playing a role on this team. What I am against is the idea that Dennis Schroeder slots in and starts taking away significant chunks of time from Josh Christopher. If it's a temporary measure, if it's just for these first couple games, three games before the All-Star break, so that Steven Silas can get a larger sample size of what it looks like having Dennis Schroeder on the floor, then so be it. I kind of understand it, and I kind of get where he's coming from trying to establish a baseline for what he's got with Schroeder in that second unit. Because largely, I do think Dennis Schroeder delivered in the sense that I don't think you can really be upset about the minutes that he played. Yeah, the Rockets got, you know, got beat blue by the Utah Jazz, but Dennis Schroeder actually played some quality minutes. He played some solid defense. He got into, you know, he got into the Utah Jazz players. He was making some plays defensively, really getting into the basketball. Offensively, he was really getting others involved, made it, again, very intentional about playmaking and creating for other guys on the floor. He just had the one turnover and five assists in his brief stretch off the Rockets bench, right? 18 minutes with just the one turnover and five assists. That's a pretty solid number off the Rockets bench. And I think that Rockets bench unit has largely struggled with creating its own offense at times. And ideally, this allows Josh Christopher the ability to flourish as his natural position as a two guard rather than being a combo guard. So there are still some positives to be, to, you know, expect or at least be cautiously optimistic of from this Dennis Schroeder thing. But I do, you know, I do find it curious, right? The whole point of this season, the whole point of a rebuild is to grow and develop the young guys. And I feel like, you know, I'm waiting to see how it plays out, but there's not a proven track record right now for me with Steven Silas and the coaching staff that at least in on a game by game basis, or at least within the game themselves, the games themselves as like an isolated thing, that the priority is exclusively on development. Because you look around and yeah, there are developments taking place, and development is much more than just what happens on the floor. But what happens on the floor is what is consumed by the fans of the team. And ultimately, when that product being consumed looks like there's no clear direction, it can be quite frustrating. Because at times, right, you've got Christian Wood and Eric Gordon leading the charge while KPJ and Jalen Green are being forced to take a back seat. In fact, in this game, there was a moment where Christian Wood hadn't shot the ball for a little while, got the pass, and immediately kind of, you know, was kind of in the high key area, or at the top of the key, and dribbled the ball back out to the three-point line and tried to take a three-pointer, pump faked, and then like leaned in to try and draw the foul and airballed it. And Jalen Green was off on the wing and immediately started walking back as soon as Christian Wood pulled up the shot and threw his arms up in the air. What are we doing here? What's going on? And that kind of body language from your number two overall pick in just his rookie season is not great. That's quite suboptimal, honestly, at this point. And a big part of that is because of the way that the Rockets distribute the basketball. They don't do a very solid job at all of making sure that Jalen Green is involved in the offense or featured as the number two overall pick. You know, the pecking order for this Rockets team is all over the place, frankly. And I want to show some numbers on that. But, you know, my final point here on Dennis Schroeder before I get too far down the rabbit hole into this next point that I want to talk about is just I'm open to the idea and what it can provide with having another veteran stabilizing force on the Rockets bench unit, as long as he doesn't become the focus of the bench unit, right? Because at the end of the day, the focus off the Rockets bench needs to be Josh Christopher and Alperen Şengün. The top four focuses for the rest of this Rockets season need to be Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and Josh Christopher. Everybody else should be taking a backseat to those four guys for the rest of this season. And if that were the case, Rockets fans would be, the Rockets could lose every single game for the rest of the season, and Rockets fans wouldn't care as long as those four guys, those four names are highlighted and focused on moving forward. And to this point, we can't say that. To this point, there hasn't been a large focus placed on all four of those guys. Kevin Porter Jr.'s had the spotlight on him, and deservedly so. He's been trying to adapt and learn the point guard position, absolutely. But the other three guys have largely been, you know, kind of fallen by the wayside at times and been relegated to an afterthought in this Rockets scheme in their offense. And that's unfortunate. And that's a direct indictment, I believe, of Steven Silas and, you know, the job of, you know, orchestrating this rebuild and again, highlighting the talent level and allowing these kids a chance to succeed as top prospects. And it's frustrating to watch on a nightly basis, but I want to share these numbers here because I pulled up the numbers for the Rockets' touches all season long. And basically, it's kind of as you would expect them to be, and it kind of matches the eye test here. But touches per game, Kevin Porter Jr. leads the way with 69.2 touches per evening. Then in order, it goes Christian Wood, Eric Gordon, and Jayshon Tate. So the rest of the Rockets starters, all respectively, with 57.2 touches for Wood, Gordon with 49.3, Jayshon Tate with 45.2. And then Jalen Green is the starter with the least amount of touches on a nightly basis on this Rockets team with just 44 touches a night. That, to me, is inexcusable. Jalen Green is the number two overall pick. He needs more touches than that. Now, I will say that in the brief amount of minutes that he's getting, Alp's touches are actually pretty good coming off the bench. 34.3 touches per night. You'd still probably like to see that number a little bit higher, but I like what they're doing with Alp, and he largely is, you know, a big focus of what the Rockets do when he is on the basketball floor. But then all the way down, further at the bottom, Josh Christopher with less touches per game than Garrison Matthews and KJ Martin. He's down at 29.5 touches per contest. That's really tough to stomach, especially considering that Josh Christopher has shown so much ability in that Rockets second unit. Now, not only those are the touches for this Rockets team specifically, but then looking across the league at the rest of the rookies across the NBA, Jalen Green is down at the bottom. So he's fifth in touches on this Rockets team. He is ninth in touches across all other NBA rookies. Josh Giddey, Cade Cunningham, Scotty Barnes, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, Chris Duarte, Franz Wagner, and Davion Mitchell are all in front of him for touches per game. Davion Mitchell is a bench player getting more touches per game than Jalen Green. That's tough to stomach. Josh Giddey and Cade Cunningham at the top of the pecking order here makes sense. They control the basketball. They're the point guards for their respective teams. The offense kind of flows through them. I get it, sure. Even Jalen Suggs to a degree, right? But Scotty Barnes, the fact that he's an ancillary piece for this Toronto Raptors team, and he's getting 64.6 touches per night. Evan Mobley getting almost 60 touches per evening as a big for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Duarte with 50 touches a night. The Rockets are not doing a good job of allowing Jalen Green to flourish. And it's incredibly frustrating at this point. I get that there's development going on behind the scenes. I understand that development is more than just what's taking place on the basketball court. But what's taking place on the basketball court is frustrating to watch. And it's almost to this point that the product is not super enjoyable because there's not an emphasis being placed on highlighting the number two overall pick and what the future of this franchise is going to look like. That's just kind of how I feel at this point. Now, I try my best to stay even keeled game to game. I try not to react, you know, overreact largely on a game by game basis. But I will say that this game was kind of frustrating, just top to bottom. It was one of the hardest watches in a while because there, you know, because there was so much going on that was kind of in direct contradiction to what a rebuild should really be about. And that's why I have questions about what they're trying to do in these last couple games before the All-Star break. But coming up, I do want to at least highlight some of the positives from this Rockets-Jazz game. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Because look, when it comes to protein bars, you've got to check out Built Bar. They are the best protein bar on the market. So many amazing flavors to choose from. Strawberry, cookies and cream, peanut butter brownie, mint brownie, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. You can't go wrong with a single flavor on their menu. Look, and it's that time of year, right? We're in the dog days of February. And if you're going hard with your New Year's resolution, or if you feel yourself kind of fading a little bit, Built Bar can help you stick to whatever New Year's resolutions you laid out for yourself. Every single bar, low cal, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. All the bars are coated with this delicious chocolate. They're not gritty or chalky like other protein bars on the market. They're so incredible, so great. I look forward to being able to eat a Built Bar when I need to, whether it's just as like a meal replacement or just I'm running out the door, running behind in the morning, that kind of thing, headed to the gym, all of that. You can check them out. Just go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Going to dive into some of these thoughts from this Rockets Jazz game. Already kind of got into the game flow itself a little bit. The Jazz were just on fire from three, getting, you know, easy buckets at the rim. The Rockets defense largely just non-existent for portions of this game. However, while the team defense was a bit suspect, you know, rotations were completely off. The low man was never where he needed to be, those kinds of things. The individual defense played by Jalen Green continues to be really promising. And I know that that's not like a ton to write home about, but trying to find the silver linings in a 24-point loss to the Jazz is tough. But in this one, Jalen Green had a lot of defensive highlights in this one. And not only that, but offensively, kind of a quiet night, but a solid evening and the first good performance that Jalen Green's had against the Jazz in three outings so far this year. So Jalen finished with 13 points on 4 of 9 shooting, was 3 of 6 from behind the 3-point line, 2 of 4 at the charity stripe. He had a rebound, he had 2 assists, he had a steal, and he had a block to go with 2 turnovers. So an overall solid stat line from Jalen Green, but there were multiple clips that I pulled and threw up my Twitter feed of him stopping guys, you know, stopping dribble penetration, contesting Donovan Mitchell, making life really difficult for him, using his length, using his athleticism to challenge other guys to make shots difficult and to contest things. And from a individual standpoint, Jalen Green's defense has become really solid. And I think that that's what you want to see out of a rookie. You want to see those strides being made in all facets of their game, not just the offensive numbers, which I know we'd love to see Jalen Green averaging 20 a night and being a leading contender for rookie of the year and all of that. And the touches definitely need to go up. I already hammered that point home. But to see him making strides elsewhere, right, to see him making strides as a decision maker, as a playmaker, as a defender, these are exactly the type of developments that you want, which is why I can't just look at the coaching staff and say there's no development taking place. Just because it's not happening the exact way that we would probably like to see it happening inside the actual 48-minute contest doesn't mean that there's not growth and development taking place behind the scenes, because I do think you can point up and down this roster to how guys have grown and developed all throughout this entire year. And that is a testament to what the coaching staff has accomplished, which is why I'm not completely out on Steven Silas like so many other people are in this Rockets fandom at this point. So Jalen Green with an overall solid performance. He also had that three-pointer to end the half that was eerily reminiscent to James Harden's buzzer-beating overtime game-winning three-pointer against the Golden State Warriors with two sets of hands in his face contesting the shot, where he elevated and drained it over Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. Jalen Green draining it over two Jazz defenders heading into halftime, just elevating, pulling the trigger on the three ball and knocking it down. A big-time shot from Jalen Green. So that was fun and impressive. But the other side of the Rockets backcourt in this game, not to be lost in the commotion that was, you know, Dennis Schroeder and his minutes and, you know, everything going on that front. Kevin Porter Jr. finished the game kind of quiet, just 8 points. So not his usual scoring outbursts that he's had over these last couple outings for the Rockets, but 8 points and eight assists, zero turnovers. That is a quality game from Kevin Porter Jr. Offensively, kind of struggling a little bit to put the ball in the basket, finished just 2 of 9, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line, and then struggling with his free throws too, 2 of 6 free throw shooting. Not a great look for KPJ. You really expect that free throw shooting number to look a little bit better for KPJ. And that's maybe a bit of a concerning trend moving forward for him, is that the free throw shooting isn't quite where you'd expect it to be. But he also had the 4 boards, had a steal, played some solid defense, and was largely just making good decisions, right? You know, and that's the thing with KPJ, is on a game by game basis, what kind of decisions is he making? Is he reading the right things? Is he getting guys involved? And in this game, he was doing just that. Now, it's unfortunate that the Rockets were playing Ole defense on the other end and never really gave themselves a chance in this game, despite the number of times that they kind of started to claw back into this. They, you know, they'd go on a run like 16-6, 16-4, 12-4, like kind of going on these big runs as the Jazz would, you know, the lead would balloon up to 20, 30, and then the Rockets would kind of get back into it a little bit, and the Jazz would hit a couple threes or get a couple easy backdoor buckets, and the lead would expand again. So the Rockets, unfortunately, not being able to be, you know, competitive in this game, unfortunately, because Jazz are the best offense in the NBA and the Rockets are one of the worst defenses in the NBA, if not the worst defense. I haven't looked in a little while. So that is frustrating, but in and of itself, a good night from Kevin Porter Jr. That's what you want to see, is you want to see him continue to rack up those assists and you want to see him keep those turnovers down. And so 8 assists and 0 turnovers is a quality night for Kevin Porter Jr. 2 more points here, 1 more positive, 1 more negative. The positive point being KJ Martin actually looked really good in this game. 16 points off the bench, 6 of 9 shooting, another nice in one podcast. That's 2 of them. 2 of 3, 3-point shooting. That was the big one for KJ Martin, is the Utah Jazz defense was leaving him open the same way that they were leaving Jayshon Tate open, which is my final point before we wrap up this podcast. They were leaving him wide open, and he was actually converting on some of those looks. And that's been the biggest detriment to KJ Martin's game, is the fact that his 3-point shot has regressed so much this season that defenses are just like, oh, it's KJ? All right, that's cool. Take the shot. We don't care. And that's frustrating, because that is, you know, if you're that bad of a 3-point shooter that other defenses are just like, whatever, that's not good. Right, that makes it really hard to accomplish anything else on the floor, because they're just going to sag off you. They're going to pack the paint. They're going to make life difficult for the other 4 guys on the floor if you can't keep defenses at least a little bit honest. So not only that, but that unlocks so much more for KJ Martin's game when that 3-ball is falling, because then defenses do have to actually honor him and they have to actually close out to him. And then he's able to get some drives to the rim and kind of finish and that kind of thing. So it is kind of nice to see KJ Martin actually convert on a couple threes, as well as have the buckets that he got on the interior as well. So just a quietly solid night for KJ Martin. And it's nice to finally see a couple 3-balls falling for him as well. My final point here, Jayshon Tate. And look, I love Jayshon Tate. I think he is the absolute like heart and soul of this Rockets team. And he works harder and fights harder than anybody else probably on this roster, and has probably fought harder than anybody else to get to where he is as an NBA player on this current team. Then maybe you make the argument Christian Wood, but even then Jayshon Tate went overseas, did all that. So Jayshon Tate and the way that teams are starting to realize that they can defend him is just leaving him wide open from the 3-point line. And in this game, he was 0-4. And Rudy Gobert, Hassan Whiteside, Udoka Azubuike, they just weren't guarding him. And that's frustrating, because at that point, the benefits that you're getting from him elsewhere on the defensive end, the other stuff that he provides you offensively, if teams are just going to treat him like Russell Westbrook and not even check him at the 3-point line, and if he's going to go over 4, then at that point you have to consider subbing him out, moving him around, doing something, or at least telling him to attack defenses differently. Because if his shot's not falling and he's just going to keep taking those shots, that's exactly what the Utah Jazz game plan wanted. That's exactly what they were going for, and they were happy with every single one of his misses that he had. You know, at this point, the shot is the only question mark in Jayshon Tate's game. Everything else is so polished, so solid, but he's got to get that 3-point shot to a place where it's more consistent, because otherwise there's a danger down the line of him getting played off the floor in certain high pressure situations. If you can't have more than one non-shooter on the floor, and even then having one non-shooter on the floor or a guy who struggles at times the way that Jayshon Tate does with his shot can be a really, really bad thing for an NBA team. So remains to be seen whether or not he can get that developmental part going in his game, really get that three ball to start falling. I want him to, because I do think that he deserves that starting spot. I think he provides so much to this Rockets team, but we saw it especially in those lineups that they trotted out when they were trying to run Christian Wood and Alperen Şengün side by side. It's really tough to do that when your three can't hit shots. So tough, tough game for this Rockets team. A few silver linings in there. You know, it's great to see the continued solid play from Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. That backcourt, that consistency is exactly what you want to see over the rest of this NBA season. But they need to also continue to focus on the development of the young guys and not allow, you know, Dennis Schroeder to come in and throw a wrench into the game plan for the rest of the season. What is Steven Silas trying to accomplish with that? You know, again, I get it. If you're looking to have a little bit of a stabilizing force on the bench with the rest of those young guys, that's, you know, an admirable goal. I respected the hell out of Steven Silas's answer too. Rockets fans wanted to know what was up with Dennis Schroeder's minutes, and he was upfront. He was transparent. He said, I was trying to get a look at XYZ. What more of an answer could you want from a coach? He was very upfront about what he was trying to accomplish. Now, whether that's the right move or not, that's an entirely different conversation. I don't think it's the right move if it comes at the cost of Josh Christopher's minutes, but we'll see how it plays out over these next couple games and over the rest of this NBA season. So with that, that's going to do it for today's episode. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also check out the YouTube channel, search Locked On Rockets on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe. How did you feel about Dennis Schroeder's debut? How do you feel about his potential role on this Rockets team? Let me know in the YouTube comments. I do read every single one of those, and I try to reply to some of them when I can. With that, that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.